we need to look at this seriously, because if we are not doing it in a way that meets state law, in fact, it could lead to a lawsuit.
Haynesboro Assembly finalizes the race for seat A, following disagreement about the validity of swing ballots. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story after this. The defense authorization bill that President Barack Obama signed into law Wednesday included approval to transfer the Haynes Tank Farm on Lutac Road to the Chilkoot Indian Association. Greg Stuckey, tribal administrator at CIA, has been behind the most recent work with the federal government and says this is a very exciting moment for the tribe.
Extremely excited. It was a very happy time to call my tribal president, Jan Hill, and shoot an email out to council that the defense bill is passed, and our language, of course, is in it. And so I'm floored myself, and I think everyone in the membership of Chilkoot Indian Association is going to be absolutely ecstatic when they hear.
Stuckey says the authorization is the result of decades of work between the tribe and the Army.
It's always been, anytime you look at a strategic plan that the tribe had put together, getting the tank farm back was always listed. So I think it's been on the books as something the tribe wanted for the last 30 years. And then over the last 10 or 15, some real activity started to happen. And then in these last 2 years, all the administrative pieces came together in terms of getting language in the defense bill. And so this is a huge project that's been going on for the tribe.
Stuckey was one of the members who worked with the Pentagon to formulate the language that appeared on the bill signed by the president Wednesday morning.
We met at the Pentagon. It was President Wilson at the time and myself, and we met with several people from the Pentagon staff and talked about what our expectations were with the project and what we were prepared to negotiate with the Army for that. And then actually their lawyers at the Army drafted language and bounced it back between Congressman Young's staffer and myself until we got to something that made sense for all of us. And by the time we got to that step, it was relatively painless. We were all pretty much on the same page on it needs to be mutually beneficial to the Army and Chilkoot Indian Association, and so it was easy to get that language once we got that far.
The law will allow CIA to complete the environmental studies on the property, negotiate pricing with the Secretary of Defense, and to eventually make decisions on how to develop the area.
I guess what it means now is that it's real. It becomes real that the tribe is actually going to be able to recover the Tanani Village site. And so with that reality, it speeds up the development of the project plan. What are we actually doing out there? Like we said, we knew we were going to do a deep sea port, but what exactly does that look like?
On Tuesday night, the Haynes Canvas Board for the Municipal Election Recount confirmed Gary Lidholm as the winner of Assembly Seat A by 2 votes ahead of write-in candidate Damon Hoffman.
The election results following the recount and following the results of this canvas are Les Hostetler, 47, Gary V. Lidholm, 439, Kathleen Minky, 111, write-in candidate Damon Hoffman, 437, and there were 5 other write-ins.
The board, made up of Assembly members including newly sworn-in Seat D member Joanne Waterman and former Assembly Seat A holder Doug Ulrud, deliberated over the validity of 11 uncounted ballots before deciding to exclude each of them. Borough Clerk and Election Supervisor Julie Causey first made the recommendation to prohibit the 11 ballots following counsel from the Borough Attorney's Office. The ballots were broken into 4 categories for the meeting, which the Assembly considered separately. The first category consisted of 1 absentee-by-mail ballot received prior to Election Day and not applied for, and was determined invalid. 5 question ballots were disqualified unanimously by the Assembly because the voters were not properly registered to vote. Causey explained.
1 person is not registered in Haynesboro at all. They're registered within the front 1 voting district. The other 4 did not, state law and borough code all say that you must be registered no closer to an election than 30 days prior in order to be qualified to vote. So none of them met that 30-day minimum requirement.
2 absentee-by-mail ballots received after Election Day with no postmark and no date were not accepted originally based on borough code, read by Causey.
to be counted in the election, absentee ballots must be received by the borough clerk before closing of the polls on the day of the election. If voted in the office of the borough clerk or other place designated by the borough clerk or postmarked not later than the day of the election and received by the borough clerk before the canvas of election returns under borough code, the borough clerk shall mark return envelopes received after such time as invalid, and the time and date of receipt by the borough clerk shall be noted thereon. And I have marked these as invalid per code because there was no way of showing that these were indeed mailed on election day prior to 8 p.m.
The unopened ballots were subject of much assembly deliberation and ended in a 4-2 vote to take the election supervisor's recommendation to prohibit the ballots. During discussion, Assemblyman Steve Vick referred to borough code and past legal cases to decide his vote to accept the ballots.
A ballot that doesn't have a postmark on it is not addressed in our code. It says that it must have a postmark by a certain date, but it's unclear on what our code says about one that doesn't have a postmark. And this is okay because we have to provide for that. It actually says that this is an option. There's actually going to be cases where there's no postmarks because it says the ballot, if postmarked, is not postmarked on or before a date of election. So it's right there saying that there's going to be a chance that it's not postmarked. So our code isn't clear on that. So what do we do with this? There is state law that deals with this. Section B. If there is no readable postmark, the date of the voter's signature as attested to by the official witness or other witnesses will be used in determining if the ballot was voted for on the election day.
However, Assemblyman Ulrud cited different advice from the borough attorney's office and voted not to accept the ballots with no postmarks.
And our attorney's recommendation was quoted in the same case you did with Hammond versus Hickel. The Alaska Supreme Court rejected absentee ballots which did not have postmarks or had not been either witness dated or date stamped by election officials on or before election day, which seems to me to read that these votes should not be counted.
Assemblyman Norm Smith pointed out two affidavits that asserted that the two absentee ballots were sent in on time, followed by a response from Assemblyman Ulrud.
This is a signed affidavit stating that she did this. And what we're saying here is that her vote is no good. I mean, this had to be sent out from our office. It's signed on the back, validated. It's, and according to state law, which Steve Vick just read, even though it's not postmarked, this is an affidavit that's been signed. And I think we're going against the law here by not opening up that ballot and seeing what it says. We're disenfranchising the voter here.
Nobody's getting disenfranchised here because there's procedures set forth to vote. I had a couple people come and tell me that they wanted to vote on election day, but they showed up a couple minutes too late and weren't allowed to vote. So should we go ask them what their votes were because they were a couple minutes late? They should have been allowed to vote because the machines were still there, the ballots were still there. They meant to be there before 8 o'clock.
The final category dealt with three write-in votes that did not show a full name, as Kazi explains.
These three ballots were denied by me when we were doing the write-in tally because, as has been done in every other election that had a write-in candidate since I've been borough clerk, if it didn't have the first and last name, I didn't count it because there was I didn't have reasonable certainty of the intent of the voter. One has just Hoffman written in. The other two have D. Hoffman.
The assembly voted 3-3 on the decision to deny those ballots, and the tie was broken by a vote by Mayor Jan Hill to accept Causey's recommendation to turn down the ballots. Assembly members were divided on the intention of the voters who wrote incomplete names and the clarity of their votes. The group that requested the recount echoed some members' concerns that there is unclear legal advice available to the assembly in the matter. Gershon Cohen is one of the members of the group behind the recount.
If the borough assembly doesn't know that this is an issue where I'm not supposed to use my own subjectivity, I'm supposed to look at the law and evaluate and act on the law, as it is written, that's where the borough attorney is supposed to come in and say, look, borough code says you go to state law, et cetera, et cetera. And the borough attorney did not do that. And that is very troubling. And I don't know why the borough attorney did not do that.
During discussion, Assemblyman Vick pointed out a unique risk embedded in Tuesday evening's decisions.
I've heard a lot of talk about this is how we've always done it. That's great. But this is the first time we've ever been challenged in how we do it. We need to look at this seriously, because if we are not doing it in a way that meets state law, we will be continuing to do it in a way that does not meet state law. And these challenges will never stop. In fact, it could lead to a lawsuit.
Cohen later addressed these comments made during the Canvas Board meeting.
I personally don't want to sue the borough. I don't want to have a recall election for certain members of the assembly, but I certainly think it would be justified if it happened, because I believe they broke the law. Two of these people were not in town. They're absentee voters. And three people, you know, the three people who voted, two for D. Hoffman and one for Hoffman, I don't know who those people were. Those five voters were clearly disenfranchised. If anyone has the right, you might say, to bring an action in this matter, it would be those five people. I know if I was one of those five people, I wouldn't hesitate to bring an action.
Reporting for KHNS, this is Tara Bicknell.